Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hi everyone, you're very welcome back to another episode of the Irish Farmers Journal Young Stock Podcast. My name is Rachel Donovan, news reporter here at the Irish Farmers Journal, and I'll be your host this week. I'm joined now by young dairy farmer and TikTok enthusiast John Halton, and we have lots to cover. This is my first podcast of 2024, and I'm looking forward to bringing you more stories and tales of young people living and farming in rural Ireland, those of us that are left, that is, and haven't already flown the nest to Australia or Canada. My last episode, I spoke to one of the youngest smart managers in Ireland, Jonathan O'Sullivan. I've spoken to vets who went to Budapest to study veterinary medicine and even inter-county hurlers balancing farming and playing for Limerick. But I'm interested in hearing all your stories, so don't be afraid to get in touch. You don't have to be an all-star Limerick hurler. You can email us at youngstock@farmersjournal.ie if you think you have a story worth telling. So now, John, back to you. You're very welcome to the podcast and thanks for coming on.
No bother, Rachel. It was a pleasure to come on and talk to you.
Brilliant, John. Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and what's your farming setup at home, firstly?
Thanks very much, Rachel. It's been a pleasure to come on and speak to the Young Stock podcast. I love it. Avid listener every week I listen to it. So, no, it's nice to come on here and talk. So, well, I'm from Trim, County Meath, so South County Meath. Grew up on the farm here with my father, mother and two brothers. Better get that right. Tim and Eric. So Tim's over in Harper Adams and studying agri-food marketing. And I have a younger brother studying international business in UL. So we're spread all over the place. So I'm here, he's there, and Eric's down there. So,
and are they're younger, obviously, John?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah, too young. Yeah, two younger brothers. So it can be fun at times, fighting around and giving out, but giving out
about
each other.
We're all going to be fighting for the farm, so.
No. We've had all kind of figured out, like my younger brother, he's not really into the farming side, and my other brother, the middle fella, Tim, he's into farming, but he doesn't want to milk cows. So he said he always said that from a young age. He likes driving tractors, so we'll let him at that.
And that really comes. Guy, isn't there?
Oh yeah, I can't deal with it. I might just give him the mower and tell him what to do, what to mow, yeah, and what not to mow. And you know yourself. So
you have a good setup. So what exactly give us a rundown of the farm and your setup.
We milk 140 pedigree Holstein cows, doing about 9,000 litres, 650 kilo milk solids. Solids could be a bit better, but we'll get up there. I was really hoping to get the 700 this year, and I just didn't make it. So maybe next year. So yeah, pale pedigree breeding. We're not fully grazers. We're all year on calving as well. I kind of forgot to mention that. That's very different. Not a lot of people will be all year on calving either. So here there's no big panic on, but we do a lot to get through the day. So at the minute we're calving, we're AIing, and we're drying off. So I'm going, the vet's coming down to handle 4 or 5 cows just to left to get in calve, and then we're going to start on the December AI in there now. So that's kind of what we're doing at the minute. With buffer feeding, there's not enough of energy in the grass, not enough of dry matter to produce that high energy milk that the cow is meant to be producing. I always say that I feed to the genetic potential of the cow. We're a feed 2 ton of concentrates. I'm not afraid to feed. I like feeding 2 ton of concentrates throughout the year. We don't let the cows out early. We'll let them out mid-March, and they'll be constantly on feed right up until kind of that June, May. We like keeping them on till May. Our grass kind of tends to get ahead of ourselves, so we'll stop off for feeding for 3 weeks, let the cows go at full-time grazing. Grass, when we get on top of the grass, we'll bring them back in and buffer feed them. We buffer feed with haylage, so we cut our first cut of haylage mid-April from excess grass or paddocks. So this last year we done 30 acres in mid-April, real high dry matter haylage. The milk, just milk heavy on it. It's just power. It's like jet fuel for the cows. So that's kind of really what we do. They're in during the summer. They are for about 6 hours a day. We start milking here at 5:30 in the morning. Cows start coming into the shed to get their buffer feed. Then around 12 o'clock, 12, 1 o'clock, we let them out to pasture for a few hours till 4, till about 5 o'clock. Then we start milking again. So it's very crucial that we have a small parlour down here as well. So it's a 10-unit parlour. So yeah, the sweat will be coming out with you in the summer. So we try for a 13, 11, 13-hour split. So 11 hours out of pasture, out of feed, in it, like feeding during the day, 13 hours at night. So we ideally, I'd like to get my 12-hour split in, but we'll get there when we get the new parlour in eventually. So it's a very different setup than a lot of people would be used to.
It is, I suppose, to the grass-based system that most dairy farms, I suppose, abide by or run. John, you talked there about 2,000 kilos of feed a year. That'd be nearly double what the normal dairy farmer would be feeding, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be double, but you just need to get that energy into that cow. Like we have a big cow here. Well, not overly big, a nice sizable cow. She'd be 650 kilos, touching maybe 700 kilos in cases, some of the bigger and mature cows. So they really need that feed. With the Holsteins, it's crucial to, you can't let them go too much. If you restrict them on feed, they will show it. That's when you start getting problems. And on the farm here, we've been doing sex semen on all mature cows for the last 3 years. So we don't use any conventional semen at all. Even our heifers, we just let them out to a Hereford bull because we have an out farm that we keep them at. So it's essential that we have our cows in tip-top condition for AI-ing.
I know when I do the My Farm and Week article for the paper, the first question I ask, and it's a lot of people go to this article, but how many acres are you farming? Just to give listeners an overview of exactly, you have 140 cows. It's nice to know cows and acres just for people to have it in their head.
We're farming just over 200 acres. But with that, we actually buy in a lot of feed as well. We do three cuts of silage every year and we buy in our maize. Now, this year we did buy in some, but we started growing. We got 15-acre field to grow maize. So we're still buying in a bit of maize as well. So
And John, what was why this more intensive system as opposed to the grass-based system? Like, is it that you're caught for land, caught for space, or do you just want to have that higher producing cow? Or why did you decide? What was the driving factor there?
well, it probably all started from my father. He always liked a good framey cow, and from that we started entering the herds competitions and just got interested in the Holstein breeding end of it. And that's where my mind really does thrive, at that breeding side of it. It's just that I like looking at a good nice cow. I don't think I'd be interested in dairy farming if I was looking at a traditional Irish cow or a crossbred cow. With that, is I'd done my placement on a cat on a trad like a kind of a crossbred cow, and I didn't like it at all. It wasn't just for me. I like looking at my nice cows and cow families, and says the breeding is where I really come into play. I'm fortunate that my father let me have full reins of breeding, so I'm in charge of picking all my bulls that I want, and through that way, and looking at US genetics. And when you get into the US genetics, it's a totally different. Like a lot of people that ask me EBI, I wouldn't go for EBI at all. I don't know or heard EBI. We breed off TPI. So TPI is Total Production Index. It's the world index for Holstein breeding. So through that's where I make all my breeding decisions. I don't, EBI doesn't even come into the current with me.
You're out of college now, about 2 years, is that right?
2 years, yeah. 2 years. It's scary when you do say that,
Yeah,
all right.
the years fly, I suppose. And are you in partnership with your dad, or is there any setup like that formally on the
We're
farm?
we're just going into a partnership this year. We're actually just doing the paperwork there at home, or just literally before I came on the call to sort out the partnership. So we're getting sorted there.
And is that, I suppose, an onerous job, or is it tedious to try and set up a partnership?
It's tedious, all right. It is harder than you think. With everything, there's paperwork and paperwork and paperwork, and we don't like paperwork. Yeah, look, it's tricky enough, but just what I'd say to anyone going into a partnership is just make sure you go to someone that knows what they're doing. Even we're setting up the bank at the minute that I'm on the bank accounts, and it's just that everything has to be right before you do make that decision. Right, we'll put in our paperwork, so we'll get there eventually. Hopefully we'll have it in so shortly enough.
I suppose it's good for clarity from your point of view, and looking to the future, that I suppose you are in a partnership and you're not just doing it for the sake of it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But as well, with the partnership, the amount of grants that can be available to a young farmer as well, and that's tax, from the tax to the grants, it does make financial sense for the business to be going that way. And eventually, possibly into a company in a couple of years' time, we'll get the partnership up and running and then look at a company down the road. So,
exactly, yeah. And John, I want to touch on your college experience. You went to Harper Adams, which is in England.
Yes.
Why was that the move? Why not here in Ireland?
Well, going back to do my leaving cert, seems like a long, long time. I wanted something different. I did apply to colleges in Ireland. I got a place in Waterford and Clondalkin and Waterford IT to do ag science. But I kind of looked just further afield because I knew I was going to come home and farm, and I just wanted to see what else was out there. I was showing the contractor where to go to rake a field, and I was chatting to him and a local fella here, and he went to Harper Adams and he highly recommended it. And from there, I kind of said I'd look into it, and looked into it, and I loved what I seen, especially from the dairy side. It's kind of my style of farming, big Holstein cows they have on the college farm. And it was an interesting approach, and just to get out and see something different. And I was 18 at the time, and I was mad to get going, you know, that kind of way.
Did you ever consider going to New Zealand, or you obviously did your placement on English farms, and as well, had you the opportunity to go to New Zealand or anything like that?
So I done my placement on Dale Farm Unlimited. They have 7 different farms across the country in England, right from Scotland right down to the Shropshire borders. So it was very different. I worked on a 400 head autumn block calf and crossbred herd on a self-feed silage pit. It was very different. That's where I seen block calving, and it nearly scared me away from block calving a bit, to be honest, having 400 coming at you at 6 weeks. But no, look, brilliant placement. Highly recommend it. But just probably should have travelled when I got the chance. That's probably one of my biggest regrets I have.
What year did you do your placement in, John?
I done it in 2019 into 2020. So just before COVID.
Was this third year of college or final year of college?
So actually, getting back to that, the course I done in Harper Adams, I probably should have started out this first, but anyway, the course I done in Harper Adams was a 3-year course. So it was a sandwich year. So I done my first year, then a placement, then went into final year to specialise in animal nutrition as well. So so I was done my placement year going into my final year, my third year in Harper Adams. So that's okay. It was just that awkward moment where everyone didn't know what they were doing or what to do. It was a funny bit of a setup, all right.
So overall, you would recommend anyone, say, doing their leaving cert this year, or not sure where to do, if they want to do something in agriculture, would you recommend for them to go to the UK to do it?
I definitely recommend. It just gets you out there, in England, you get to see every style of farming, from autumn block calving, spring block calving, low input, high input. I was fortunate, I worked on different farms when I was there, so I would have worked on my placement farm, which is a grass-based system, would have worked on a dairy herd indoors doing 10,500 litres, then I worked on a farm milking 3 times a day, 12,500 litre cows, nearly producing a ton of milk solids in a 305 day lactation. So you get to see every style of farming out there. And even for the arable fellas, the tillage lads as well, the equipment, the kit is a lot bigger out there. So I would highly recommend going out there, either Harper Adams, the Royal Agricultural Uni in Cirencester, even some of the traditional colleges, Rees Heath, Harpery, any of them colleges I'd highly recommend.
And apart from the study element, what was the crack like?
Oh, the crack. It was great crack, all right. It was good crack, all right. COVID kind of messed a bit up for me, but my first year was good out crack, all right. Good lot of drink taken on board, and you get to meet a lot of different people. And I have to say, anyone going over, especially Harper Adams, they have Harper Ireland Club, which is all Irish come together, and it just makes you feel less homesick. And you've other people from all different walks of life in the country with you. Even I was living with all Irish fellas, fella from Monaghan, all over. You get to meet just totally different people from different areas. So even I've made a lifelong friend there as well. Like, you just meet lifelong friends that you'll keep in contact for a long time, and it's always good to have them in because they always go stay in industry. So it's nice to have them there. Like, and you can pick up the phone and give them a call if you want to run something by them. Or that's my biggest thing, is the contact side of it.
They're not just friends, I suppose. You can ring them up for a bit of advice too, and all have si similar interests, which is a good thing. John, now I want to ask you about TikTok. When did this all start, or how did it all start? Bring us right back to the very start of it.
TikTok, TikTok's a bit of a funny one, all right. So I would have started. I came home just before it all started. I went out for a night out with a local friend of mine. It was her 21st, I think it was her 21st, and we all went out and we were all having drinks after. And she said to me, funny jokingly, "Here, you would you start up TikTok? I think it'd be good for you. It should be a bit of crack." I think they wanted to see me making a fool of myself for walking around the yard. She was from the town side of it, so I said, "Yeah, sure, look, I downloaded it there and I made two videos, and they're done quite well. Just me messing around the yard that morning after the night out, a bit hungover, but we won't get that
Yeah.
far." But stats was really it, and started making videos and got that attraction going. And then COVID hit. I said, "You know what? I might start just making videos of what we're doing, because on the farming side, we farm very different, and a lot of people could be intrigued by what we do, and maybe a few people aren't intrigued and just disappointed that I'm not the traditional Irish farmer." That's how I really got going. And
How many followers have you? I think you're nothing to be sneezed at.
no, nothing to be sneezed at all. I wish probably I should be on a bit more, but I'm at just over 19,000, so I'm nearly at the 20,000 mark. Probably should have been there a lot sooner, but kind of work gets in the way, and I took on a few jobs after I came on from college, so kind of stopped the TikTok. And now that I'm back on the farm full time, I'm back making agri videos and talking what we're doing, really.
That's a lot of eyes on you, John. And does it ever, Joe, does it ever make you nervous, or
Not at all. I still act the way I act. I'm still my old self, John. And once you don't get a big head or any of that, and there's always people to pull you back down to earth in Ireland anyway. So I'm doing a bit of work with the National Dairy Council, and the first thing that I walked into the local pub after, that has given me sticks. So you get
yeah.
plenty of stick first, but they always drag you back down to earth anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, you need a bit of that every now and again, don't you?
Oh, they won't let you get a big head anyway, that's for sure.
John, you mentioned that you have dyslexia, and I suppose did that come against your studies or your leaving cert, or how, or has it affected you in any way or impacted you?
Yes, I do have dyslexia, all right, but I don't think it should stop anyone. It is hard. I'm not great at reading or writing. I can do the basics, and don't ask me to read a book or any of that. Yeah, it's hard with the dyslexia. It does, people would say it holds you back, but in my case, it never held me back. You just have to learn how to work it and learn how to kind of live, not really live with it, but it can be a godsend in other times. Like, I have to say, I was blessed doing my leaving cert. I got a scribe, extra time. It really did help me along. If I was to do that as a normal leaving cert, I don't think I would be where I am today. It's just, then there would be people going into mocks at the minute, stressing about it. Just, if you're struggling, ask for help. and get a test done, because you never know, it'll help you, like I did, help you a lot. It never pulled me back. It probably gave me the encouragement to go forward, to work harder, my leaving cert. I'm not one for books. Keep me away. I just keep me away. I hated school. I just wanted to be out there farming. And when my leaving cert came, I was like, right, I'm going to go give this full go. But it does teach you how to just work harder. No, for people in dyslex that is dyslexic, nothing comes easy. You just have to get there. You'll get there in the end, but you just have to learn how to work with it than against it.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
probably
And tell us, John, about the award in the UK you were nominated for.
in my final year. I was a lecturer, a good lecturer of mine. He's actually a spud lecturer, a potato lecturer. He was head of my course, and he said to me, "Would you ever think of going for the Farmers Weekly Ag Student of the Year?" And he hemmed and hawed. I said, "Ash, look, we go for it anyway." I put in my application and got word back that I was a finalist, and went to an interview and got through to the final three. And it was a great night. We went to the awards night. It was in London. There was three of us, another Harper Adams student, and a girl from Nottingham. So the girl from Nottingham won, but no, look, it was a great opportunity to be asked, and I'd highly recommend someone in the UK, if they're listening. There has to be an Irish student that won it yet. I was told I was the closest one to winning it, so hopefully we might win it one year. So look, it was a brilliant opportunity. The people you meet is second to none. I've lots of good contacts from that night, and yeah, you're just mixing with everyone, and you're after it, then there's a bit of a dance and a shindig, and you just enjoy it, and you're dancing with a journalist from the Farmers Weekly, or you're dancing with a sales rep from Keenan, or it's just the people that you mix with there. It's amazing, and you learn a lot from it, I have to say.
Excellent. Yeah, no, it sounds like a great night, and fair play for getting that far. We might get an Irish student yet to win it
I
in
think we
Dublin.
will. We hope so. I encourage anyone studying out there in England, go for it. We might get on top. You might be flying the flag out there.
John, I want to get back to the farm now again, and I suppose in terms of challenges that young people face, like I know I was on, I covered the Mockra protests where they walked from Athy in Kildare up to Leinster House. So I heard all the problems and the issues and the reasons people are out walking. From your point of view, what are the biggest challenges you face, I suppose, maybe over the next 5 or 10 years getting going as a young farmer, Joe, in the dairy industry as well, which there's so much regulation and legislation coming at you at the minute?
I think probably the biggest challenge, and it's the elephant in the room, is the nitrates and what's going to happen there. It's hard to know what'll happen there. That's probably my biggest thing coming down the line. Probably, I could see that we don't know. No one knows what's going to happen with that. Are we going to be cut down further than the 220? We're farming the 220 area at the minute. It's a hard one to know what to do. Other challenges, the milk price. I can see the milk price. I follow the markets very regularly, the GDP, the global milk trade, and it is looking steady for the minute, but I think we will see a lot of volatility in it. It'll go up and it'll go down. It won't be as steady as it was before COVID. That's a given with every other sector: grain, beef, poultry, pork. It'll be all fluctuating, and we just have to learn how to manage fluctuation and get it into our heads that it won't be as steady as it once was. Couple that with the nitrates for the dairy farmers, it's hard to know what way. We're just trying to be positive at the minute. That's probably the best advice to be anyone. There's no point looking at doom and gloom of it. Just go head first and keep doing what you're doing, because we'll get there eventually.
You do see yourself farming for the rest of your life, John, do you?
Yeah, no, I do. I'm here for the long run. Putting up a new shed at the minute. We're expanding that. I'm home and getting more land under us, and that's all we can do is keep going.
And do you plan on increasing cow numbers, or
Yeah,
what do you
increasing,
plan
but
on?
not by much, 50 or 60, that's all. It'll just get us him, and we're tight for space already as it is, so we need the shed anyway. So, and the extra slurry storage as well never harms anyone, especially what's coming down the line where
Yeah,
we don't know
you
what's
never
going to
know what the
happen with
weather is
slurry
going to
storage.
do and when you might
Exactly.
need it.
We produce a lot of slurry on the farm because we're buffer feeding a lot. We need our extra storage anyway, so it's no harm in it at all. And especially with the tax incentives that there is now and the grants coming out, it's a second to none investment. So that's what we're doing at the minute. And I like the cows I'm aiming for 10,500 liters cows in the next 5, 6 years and getting that 800 kilos of milk solids. After that, 10 years down the line, I'd like to be doing the 12,000 and the 1,000 kilos of milk solids. So that's what we're kind of aiming for on the farm.
And tell us about the milk and parlour again. What type of parlour are you planning on putting in? Are you expanding what you have, or are you digging it out
No,
and putting in a parlour in one?
it's in an old stone shed that's probably 200 or 300 years old, and it's a 10-unit jar setup, jar plant setup, mix and match of everything. There's a bit of feed to yield in that now. Dairy Master feed to yield in that at the minute. But we're looking at a rapid exit, actually a 20-unit rapid exit. It'd be nice to get the cows in that or a rotary, but rotaries they're a bit hard in the cash. Probably go with a 20-unit rapid exit parlour. That'll get the cows flying through it anyway.
Okay, John, we're gonna head into the quick fire round now. I didn't prepare you for this one, but I'm sure you'll be fine. Okay, John, Barry's or lines?
Oh, it would have to be lines. Lines all the way.
Sparkling water or still water?
Still cast, but hate sparkling. Nightmare.
Putting turf or picking stones?
I don't like doing neither. I've put turf once in my life, never again. Probably stones if I couldn't get someone in to pick them.
And if you had the money, herringbone or a rotary?
That's all right, what we're planning to do at the minute if we have the money. I'd love a rotary, but it'd have to be a herringbone.
Favorite tractor?
A B110 90. We have one on the farm and just an animal yoke to go.
A chicken roll man or a breakfast roll man?
It's always a hard one when you go to the deli. It's always hard to pick. Of recent, I was breakfast roll, but after changing a bit of fillet, chicken fillet, it's hard to know. When you're lining up there, you're still thinking what to get, like. Even though it might be 11 or 12 o'clock in the day, you
I
still
know,
don't know.
there's no real line there, is there?
It's an unwritten rule. Once you go past like 12, once you go into 12, 1 o'clock, then it's a chicken fillet, but that 11, 12 o'clock.
I feel you. I feel you.
I think a lot of
Around
people
your
would feel
part of
me
the
on
country, is it?
that.
Sorry, I think you're overlapping there.
I was going to say, I think it's that everywhere. It's just, you don't know what to pick. It's just everyone's in the same boat.
Well, John, around your part of the country, is it a fourth or a pike, or have you any other name on what it should be called?
Well, I done a TikTok of this a couple of weeks ago and the video blew up. I reckon it's a fork. We all have to be civilized people. A pike's a fish and a grape is fruit, as we discovered that. So we have to be civil and go with a fork.
Okay, you're fairly strong on that one. So
Oh,
last
very
one,
strong.
John. A good sheepdog or a quad?
Oh, it'd have to be a quad. It'd have fully a quad. We used to have sheep here at home, and no, I'd pick a quad any day of the week.
Now, John, thanks a million for that. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to everyone for listening in. That's it for this week's episode of the Young Stock Podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.
We're currently looking for young people across Ireland to interview on the podcast. If you know someone who's under the age of 35 that has an interesting story, career, or experience that you want to share, then send on their name and get in touch with the Young Farmers Journal team. We want to give a voice to young people across rural Ireland. What issues are currently bothering you? Get in touch by emailing youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or send us a WhatsApp voice note to 086 83 66 465.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.